You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out,
George. Oh, boy. I'm going with Tough Talk Tuesday. Brian Enola East joining me in studio as he does each and every Tuesday, getting ready for a fun and busy week. Tomorrow, we'll be at Vinny's Caddy Shack, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. You know the staple. Been there for a long, long time, since 89. New ownership, completely redone. Looking forward to being there from 12 to 3 tomorrow. I'll have some goodies to present to you. If you stop on by, have a little lunch as well. And then Thursday and Friday, the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Do I need to talk maybe this kind of voice?
No, you can just say it.
I think I gave you your pass. You're coming.
Yes, I will
Thursday
be there.
Thursday and Friday. Excited. I cannot believe it's the first time you're going to be at the Zurich.
Yes, and I'm excited, man. First time going to be there, and I get a chance to cover it. I get to see all of the, you know, some of the world's best players.
Yeah, walk-up music for the golfers.
Yes.
Team play. I'm excited. I always love it. The weather should be very similar to what's outside right now, which is great. So it's going to be a very nice week weather-wise. Good for them. And look, I think you're going to see a lot of fans.
Who do you think is going to have the strangest walk-up music?
We can talk about that.
Okay.
We'll get into that a little bit. As you know, at 1:15, you will lose in your weekly Shots Fired segment. Four topics we'll throw out there. Brian and I will make a case for a point. Sometimes we agree. Most of the time we disagree, but we'll take either side and you can help us win. It's sort of like First Take Around the Horn, those shows, yet you can chime in. We actually welcome you to chime in. We want you to either tweet or call during the argument and help us make a point against one another or for one another. It's fun. I enjoy that. Last week we got a good amount. It's catching on. I think it is. It's going to be fun in order to do that. And I'm calling it Tough Talk Tuesday because it's going to lead into where we will be Thursday, 6 p.m. You, Marlon Favorite, John 4K, Dave and Buster's, 6 p.m., 1200 Poitier Street. Come on out. There'll be special seating for those that are watching the draft in and around that bar area where the TVs are. I mean, it's a really nice location. We're super pumped and excited about that. So I might beat you in a little Papa Shot before the game or
the
before the draft.
Thoughts continue, don't they?
What are you talking about?
You know, first you're saying you're going to win a Shot Fire. Now you tell them you're going to
like
win a Papa Shot.
Nikola Mirotic. Ooh. See what I just did there? Jake Madison at 2:15 is going to give his take on a scintillating Zach Lowe piece that came out today that has plenty of Pels fans going, huh? What? Let us enjoy the postseason. That said, Brian, he did bring up something that I don't know about you, but definitely for me, the gym, Walmart, Sam's, the mall, the weekend with friends, lots of people are asking me.
It's the number one question right now.
Do you re-sign DeMarcus Cousins?
The number one question.
Or do you go forward with Nikola Mirotic as part of your core and move forward and do that? He lays it all down. He calls it the elephant in the room. Yeah. And it's not the easiest of questions because you can make a case for both. And look, I get it. Look, the Pels are still going into the next round. I understand that. At some point, time's going to have to be addressed. I get that. But when you see the play, this is why people are bringing it up. And I understand that. It's because there's no games right now. So, yeah, it's something. But I'm telling you, as you're watching the games, game three, as you're watching the games, game four, I'm telling you, as I'm watching, people are going, dude, I'm not signing Cousins.
Yeah.
Or can you imagine what it would be like to have Cousins, Mirotic, and AD? I've thrown that out there, and people will tell me you can't have them on the floor at the same time, and I say why.
In spurts, you can. As a full lineup,
right. No.
But in spurts, oh, yeah, they'd be dominant.
I mean, again, those three, size-wise, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, that's ridiculous. Because, you know, and again, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about this with Jake because it comes down to money.
Indeed.
Is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Pre-Nikola Mirotic, who, remember, the Pels had to guarantee the $12 million for next season on his deal, in this final year of his deal, for him to accept the trade from Chicago.
Yeah.
That cost a first round pick, by the way. DeMarcus Cousins cost
a first round pick.
First round picks and Buddy Hield, a first round pick.
So that's like two.
So one way or another, it's going to cost us some point. Money wise, picks wise, future wise, how do you want to build it? And again, we're going to get into this because I think you can kind of go both ways. You can make a case and say, hey, look, AD, Boogie, they're tight. This team wants them. And you could also make the case, and I'll just play the sound from Alvin Gentry. He said, this is the team he envisioned having when he first took this job. Those were the words out of his mouth.
Yeah.
They're playing the kind of basketball, pace and space, however you want to call it, that he envisioned and wanted. Now, we saw DeMarcus and the Pels run up and down the court at times, and I'm talking about when they got it. Right before his injury, they got it. He played less point forward or point center. Okay, I mean, but let's just say this. If he does come back and to re-sign him, Brian, am I wrong in saying once you put your name on that ink there, you are not shooting threes at the top of the key and handling the ball?
You would think that'd be his thing, but of course, the offense has to be the offense. So in order for that to take place, you got to have Boogie playing like Meritage. That's the only way it's going
to
be effective.
Here's the other thing, too. Defensively, what Meritage has been able to rebound, get out on the wing and guard. Yes. He can guard guards as well. I also don't see the complaining.
No.
Every 5 seconds about either a foul or a... Boogie spends a ton of time on the floor.
Yes.
One way or another.
Yes.
Either trying to get a call, miraculously being shoved or whatever, even though he's the one guy that probably steps on a court and is the most intimidating.
Yeah.
He's always on it. Like, when's the last time you saw Meritage hit the floor?
Wow.
Right? Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. So, is Boogie acting, trying to get calls? I mean, Boogie's always on the floor. I mean, he's
more than mopping
on
glove.
The floor. So, anyway, we can make cases and points and arguments. And again, this is not because I saw a lot of the comments to Zach Lowe's piece on Twitter. Why, let us enjoy it. We're not doing anything. We can discuss this because there's downtime right now. And this is something that they have to think about, have to look at. And do not think that every single game that
the Pelicans
Meritage plays well,
or the Pels win,
it doesn't kind of, you know, come to the forefront. So we'll discuss this with Jake because it is the elephant in the room, but maybe no longer because a lot of people are looking at it. So people got upset over the weekend, going into game four, that people are already tweeting, next year, you're not going to have Meritage. You're not going to have Cousins. It's going to be a different Pels team and all that. Remember this. Before Meritage ever got signed or traded for,
they picked up the option.
Okay. The Boogie re-signing at max would have probably, I remember Jake saying, would have put them in the luxury tax.
Indeed.
So re-signing DeMarcus Cousins to a 5-year max is going to either put you in the luxury tax or darn near close and will limit what you can bring and who you can sign. And that might mean you have to part ways with Meritage.
Here's a crazy.
So that, again, that's something that, you know, you have to think about. Now, you know, I've always felt, we'll get into this after you make your point at 215 though. I'd approach him coming off of the Achilles 3-year deal, 2 years guaranteed. I mean, but the third being a player option because that's what players do now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-year deal. Player option's 5.
Yeah,
it's really a 4. But that's what makes sense for the team. But I've said all along, it takes one team to go. I believe in that Achilles. I'm giving you a 5-year max. And you also risk the second you sit him down and go, here's a 3-year deal, him going, you did what? That's disrespectful. And all of a sudden, it turns contentious. That doesn't mean that it won't come back to fruition, but you're already, I mean, then it becomes business.
Right.
You know, right now it's very lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. In the locker room, if you go to Pels.com, you see DeMarcus with his left arm around Gale Benson. I mean, he's loving this. They love him. It's kumbaya.
Yeah.
Okay?
Until the contracts get thrown around.
And look, and I thought it was interesting because a lot of people are going, you risk the chance of upsetting AD.
Mm-hmm.
What did AD say?
All about winning.
He did. When he was asked about DeMarcus coming back, and he goes, look, I hope we can convince him, was the words he used. He didn't say, I'm not worried about it. He didn't say, I think he wants to be here. He said, Hopefully this can convince him. So that kind of tells me that Boogie loves the situation, loves his friendship, loves what's going, but he's going to love his money
even more. Yeah.
So I just thought it was very, now I don't know if AD wasn't thinking that much when he used the words, but I thought it was very interesting he used the words convince him.
Yeah.
Because the more they win and play well, I actually think the Pels are starting to get leverage.
Yeah. Here's the craziest thing. It comes down to there's going to be a position on this team that's been a big, you know, a thorn in the Pelican side for years. That's small forward. The money that it would take for you to re-sign Boogie Cousins, what, $30 million per year? You could take that money, sign Mirotić, and possibly sign yourself a max small forward. What do you do in that situation? I know a lot of fans out there are, you know, they're consistently saying, well, we should try for Paul George, or we should try for this small forward, or that small forward.
Hold on.
Yeah.
No, stop the PG.
Please. I've been saying it almost all night.
Please stop the PG.
Yeah. I mean, I even
did
have
to
ask.
Did you watch the OKC dismantling yesterday at Utah? Stop the PG talk.
I don't understand.
The man gave himself Playoff P. He's giving himself nicknames.
And guess what? Playoff P.
And Joe Ingles hammered Playoff P.
Exactly. He's been getting destroyed out there.
Stop it. You're not allowed to give yourself a nickname in the playoffs when you're sub .500 playoff record. Stop it.
And it's just the idea of he doesn't always show up in the playoffs.
No.
So I'm like, are you serious? Are you sure playoff you want that guy? P. But, you know, nonetheless,
anyway,
I say it's the idea of if you don't re-sign Boogie, mm-hmm. and the more the Pelicans win, the harder that decision gets. What happens to the idea of what you do with the money that you didn't use for Boogie?
Well, you see, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, initially, I'm just telling you right now, again, we can get into this. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. Go read Zach Lowe's piece. He lays down all the arguments mm-hmm. for and against. Look, he uses some, before you get mad, because people are like, what are you doing? No. He's looking at it, and it's a lengthy piece. Okay. It's a lengthy piece. So he thought about this. He has stats to kind of throw in there. The one thing I was joking, kind of not really though, when I was like, name the last time you saw Mirotić on the floor, hit the deck, trying to drive or something. You know, again, Boogie's a little more dramatic as a player. Let's just be honest. He's a little more dramatic as a player. And I thought at times at the beginning of the season, part of the problem, and I thought the rest of the team kind of rubbed off on it, they were looking for calls every 5 seconds.
Yeah, well,
every
5 seconds,
man. I'm like, DeMarcus, can you just play basketball?
Never saw AD get thrown out of a game until.
I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying, goodness, it was tough to watch. At the beginning of the season, they didn't go 5 minutes without someone complaining about a call.
Right.
All right? When they were clicking and gelling, they were not complaining.
No.
And they were playing basketball.
More importantly, they
played basketball as a team, and they played defense. I've said this before. Watch it tonight, 9:30 TNT, Game 5, Spurs and Warriors.
Yeah.
When the Warriors have their runs... What are they known for? Give me some DNA characteristics of the Warriors that we know.
Three ball.
Most of the time comes out of transition, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Especially with a missed shot.
Yes.
That was game three Pels. Next, give me another one.
Running team.
Running. Number one in the league in pace, the Pels. Give me another one.
That's going to be, let's say, defense.
Defense. Thank you for bringing that up. People overlook because of the sweet passing, the splashy threes, the dunks in transition, Draymond... Basketball moving you into the unmentionables.
Yes.
Things of that nature. You forget how good a defensive team they are. If you remember when they were going to the finals and they won, they were also tops in the league in
defense.
Defense. What have you seen the Pels this series and late in the season?
Goodness, they've ratcheted up that defense ridiculously.
So what was the number one issue this team had early in the year?
Defense.
They didn't buy into it. Now again, I don't want you to think I'm laying it all on Boogie.
No.
What I'm saying, though, is this group, however it came to be, for whatever reason, confidence has grown, shots are going in, yelling. I mean, I heard AD and them say, hey, look, was it Rondo who said this is one of the teams most that he's ever been on? They all go out to eat dinner together as a team.
They're a unit.
I know that might sound silly to y'all, but I'm asking y'all right now. Do any of y'all listening have a tradition or something, right? I mean, we do every now and then. Like, we'll do like one Thursday or something.
We'll go out.
We'll go do a brainstorming session, i.e. we hang out, have a few, and just relax.
Just talk crazy.
Exactly. So I think it helps on the air. I think it helps off the air. I think you do that. So I've always done that for years. I've always thought, you know, the closer you are with the people you work with, the more you get to know them, what issues they have at home or get ideas, whatever, you got time. Because normally, like you saw today, you get in here, dude, 2.5-3 hours, I might look at you because I'm either writing, I'm typing, I'm cutting sound. I mean, you're focused on the show. So when you hear that a team is all together and collective, boy, that sounds like across the parking lot, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What was some of the things Saints players said this year?
Oh, they were hanging out together. They, you know, go to events together. You go to a Pelicans game, you'll find at least 6 or 7 Saints players right there on the sideline. So they actually genuinely like being around each other.
Exactly. It just helps.
Yeah.
It just helps. You guys know that, right? When you don't want to be around certain places or you don't like where you are, it affects your productivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you show up somewhere and you're not excited to be there, it affects your productivity. You have to have pride where you are. One of the things that we talked about, too, was changing the attitude of who you are. That was one of the things I will credit Kenny Vaccaro in. He was trying to change how that defense was looked at, you know, instead of, hey, they're terrible. It's like, well, start your swagger. Aaron Glenn, the secondary coach.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. I mean, all OTAs, last season, yeah.
Remember? Win the play. Yes. And he told his defensive backs
go
when he got to
spike the ball. Go get it.
Spike the ball. Yeah. He instilled and tried to get them confidence and swagger.
Yes.
Because they were terrible. They were the worst in the NFL. They were garbage. Quarterbacks became players of the week.
Oh, man. The
so you
of
have
Lake
to
Erie.
Build that, right?
Yeah.
So it started at OTAs. It started at minicamp, and it continued in training camp. Spike the ball. You made a play, defensive stop, spike the ball in their face. And it ticked off the
receivers.
Oh,
the offense. Oh,
right?
Man. I mean, they would like, actually go back and forth with it
but
after
you
that.
Felt
yeah.
it on the side. Like, dude, you're about to get in the shoving. Like, you felt that energy.
Yeah.
And it set the stage to what you saw later in the season.
Indeed.
We'll continue that discussion, but as we go to break, you saw what I just did? I transitioned to the problem I'm having, which we'll get into next segment.
What, you mean one of your many problems, right?
Many problems.
Yeah.
I got options, Brian. I got options if I'm Mickey Loomis and head coach Sean of the Peyton. I got options, options, and options. Because of what the Saints did in free agency, I think the Saints can do a lot of different things at 27, and my goodness, I've already changed my mind 3 times, 3 separate mock drafts. I was on the ESPN Night Show last night nationally.
Yeah, look
and
at you.
I went with somebody I hadn't even, I talked myself into.
Indeed.
I talked myself into, which is why Jason Anderson of ESPN Louisville will join us at 105.
Oh, we already
That's
know your pick.
Hint.
We already know your pick.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you when we come back. ESPN New Orleans, Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. Online, kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans. got no reason for the things I fear. Welcome back. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be at Vinny's Caddy Shack, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Brian, it's a place now you can bring a date.
Really?
Yeah. Not that it wasn't bad. You know, it was one of Metairie's, you know, little dive bar staples, but completely redone. New ownership management, the works. And, you know, they're building it as a nice date place. Obviously, good place to go watch your games and stuff. Plenty of TVs. Good menu with daily specials as well. So I'm looking forward to going in there for the first time tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome, man. Can I bring a couple of dates?
Moving on. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. If you want to chime in on this, Alvin Gentry extension. We'll talk about that. Jared, you're up first. What you got, bud?
Hey, I have a center which I'd like to add to the team. He gets a bad rap from Shaq and the Fool, but JaVale McGee really can run with this team. Mm-hmm. And he's a good shot blocker, athletic, and he brings something that Boogie doesn't bring. He doesn't complain. He just plays the game. And with his athletic ability and shot blocking, he would fit in good with AD and Mirotic, and it would allow us to go out and get that small forward who could shoot. So I'm going to just hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. 800-998-1003. Brian, what team does JaVale McGee play for?
He currently plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Kind of key as well. And I love that Cleveland was making all kinds of fun about him
in the postseason. Until he showed up.
Yeah, here's the thing. JaVale McGee only gets about 4 to 7 to 10 minutes, but that 4 to 7 to 10 minutes is a couple of shot blocks, a rebound or two, and maybe a point or two. But look, I'll say this. All that, though, being said, what are the points and arguments I was making? You got to have money to sign players.
Yeah, and the Pelicans don't have it.
I think they've passed the threshold of convincing people to come here.
Yes, I think that's
what you heard yesterday, and what you heard Rondo after the game on Saturday talk about, saying that they knew he was coming, tells you that they talk.
Oh, yeah.
And during the season, off the season. And I pointed this out in yesterday's show, Brian. AD told the story to Marcus's presser.
Yes.
That DeMarcus, every time they played, was trying to get Anthony Davis over there during that season. And AD said, no, you coming over here. This happens all the time. They're trying to do it. You can use the word, you know, illegal and all this stuff. They're doing it. So do not think that some players have either been contacted or in passing or being texted or other guys going, dude, I wouldn't mind joining. They have made it, right, to where people will look at New Orleans next year. And free agency.
No question.
There is no doubt about it. If they give the Warriors a run, if they beat the Warriors, this decision gets harder.
A lot harder. Especially because, I mean, you're talking about Western Conference Finals without Boogie Cousins. So it's going to be the question that you asked earlier. It's either going to be, what would this team look like if it had Boogie? And I don't want anybody to say, the Pelicans are playing better. They won 7 of 9 before Boogie got hurt. So they actually
7 of 8.
Seven of eight. So they actually had figured it out. So I think that was kind of maybe a foreshadowing of what was to come. But then it becomes, well, you did it without him.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Remember, you would not have gotten Mirotic.
Without Boogie going down.
You don't make that move.
No.
So, look, Zach Lowe has one point, and we'll get into what my tease was as to why we have Jason Anderson from Louisville, ESPN Louisville, coming up at 105. One of Zach Lowe's pieces or tidbits they throws out there, the Pels are already plus 196 with Mirotić-Davis duo and 300 fewer minutes combined over the regular season in playoffs than when he was with Boogie. That's equivalent to about plus 14 points per 100 possessions, 5.5 points fatter than Houston's league best overall mark. They're basically playing like Rockets basketball right now.
Oh, I mean, the Pelicans look like the most impressive team in the postseason right now. And I mean, it's almost by far.
And I get it. We can throw out different numbers out there, right? I mean, February 3rd, 20-11. February 3rd is when Mirotić comes in, they're 20-11.
Yeah.
You add the playoffs, 24-11. Regular season, 48-34. You do the subtraction, team was 28-24 at Boogie.
That was nice math by you. Look, you've been practicing, haven't you?
That took a lot. All right. Going into break, I said, look, one of the things I wanted to tease you about, right? Because you know what's coming, don't you?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
On Thursday?
With the first pick, the 27th.
The New Orleans Saints select.
I've had three mock drafts.
Yes.
Okay.
You've been all over the place, man.
And remember last week, I had the graph on. I was talking a little baseball with him, which we will today at 2:05. And I said, I'm about to go on an Atlanta radio station. What do I do? You know what I mean? Cortland Sutton's there. Do I go receiver? Do I do these things, right? So I went over last night, and I think one of the things that I was thinking about more than anything is what do I do in terms of Freddie and Fitzsimmons? That's who I was on last night. So, they send me the board up until I was about to pick. And there they are. The two that I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson's gone to the Bills. I know you're saddened by that.
I'm hurt.
Yeah, I know. Baker Mayfield at 5 to the job. I mean, yeah. So the quarterback scenario was gone. And I'm like, great, that'll help me. This is easy now. Super easy, right?
Of course it is.
And then I realize what I think is the issue right now is having the amount of options and areas that the Saints can go in good because you can almost overthink it. I have changed my mind over and over and over again.
Three drafts, three different picks.
Picayune people put out their picks today. That's different than they were weeks ago, right? Waiting for the advocate guys and everybody. I'm telling you, everyone has different players. That's what's crazy about it. It's a good thing, though. My overall theme going into Thursday is this. I don't think there is a bad decision. Does that make sense?
It does.
I don't think the Saints can make a bad pick. They go offensive line. You could make the case. Look, I'm not saying anything about Armstead, but he can't stay healthy. Andres Pete, they picked up his option, okay? You know, Wayne got Bushrod to be a utility guy. You would rather a younger, but do you do that first round? I don't know if you do that first. Do you do that with center? So I don't know if you do that, but I could understand it.
Yeah.
I could understand it. But that would be at the bottom of the understanding poll, offensive line.
Yeah, no question. Okay. I think that if he's at the bottom of the
poll. Now let's move up.
All right.
Edge pass rusher, of course.
Yeah, pass linebacker. Rusher, linebacker.
Of course, like a Van Der Esch. Yeah, absolutely. Right? So here I am. I'm overthinking it, right? I'm like, receiver. Well, Cam Meredith, Cortland Sutton, Michael Thomas. Who's
Brandon
stopping me?
Coleman?
Huh?
Yeah, Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, he wouldn't get on the field. All right. So my point is, but he is back 1 year, $1 million.
Well, who's not back?
Willie Snead.
Oh,
is a Baltimore Raven.
Oh, he's gone.
No. You see, you're making it seem like you won last week's shots fired by saying that. Baltimore paid him almost $10 million.
How much were the Saints going
to
pay?
Well, there you go. One team valued him more than your New Orleans Saints.
Oh, well.
$7 million.
So you mean
Saints were going to pay him 1.9. Who would you have gone for?
Basically, he got the same deal Cameron Meredith got.
Yeah.
So the Saints made a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need Willie. We'll take Cameron, and we'll bring back Brandon.
Moving forward, what I was trying to say is I could see that. But I was like, okay, look, all right, that's, receiver, if I'm going pass catcher, tight end. This makes sense, right? Dallas Goedert's been mocked by a lot of people since mock drafting began in February. Hayden Hurst is a player that they have met with, right? Now, Goddard 6'5", Hurst 6'4", Goddard 255. Hurst 250. Goddard, better upside pass catching.
Yeah.
Hurst, I mean, you read all the draft stuff. He's a better, perhaps, all-around guy.
Yeah.
Better blocker.
Yeah, okay? Indeed.
Makes sense, because what have we said with the Saints offense, it's backfield heavy to me.
Indeed. Right?
Starts the backfield. So I'm like, okay, this is easy. I'm going, hey, Nurse. I mean, they're both there. They're both there. I'm good. I went walk the dog.
Yeah.
My wife came in. We went bike riding. Dog has a bike seat. Kid has a bike seat. We looked like the perfect Brady Bunch family, dude, even though we're only four.
There you go.
Five, including the dog and kid.
Well, what happened?
Or is it four? I can't do the math. There you go. All right, so we're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
What happened?
Bike ride's a good half hour, right? During that half hour, I changed my mind 5 times.
Why?
Because.
Is there someone else?
The New Orleans Saints select.
Okay, who?
Cornerback Jair Alexander.
What are you doing with a corner?
Louisville.
What? Have you not seen Marshawn Lattimore? What do you need a corner for?
Have you seen the schedule the Saints are playing this year and the NFC overall.
Okay, so they're going to face four former MVP.
Keep going, yeah.
Maybe five former Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're going to face a lot of good quarterbacks.
A lot of good quarterbacks.
So, I mean, Ken Crawley's there.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. This is no offense.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore, done for the season.
Oh. Why would you do that?
Not done for the season. Let's just take him off the roster right now.
He's not on the roster. He's going on vacation.
He's on vacation right now. Ken Crawley, scare you?
I mean, he's improving.
Arthur Millett, scare you? P.J. Williams, scare you? Sterling Moore. They bring him back and let him go. Just scare you?
But
P. Robbing him.
Well, he
brought him back to be a
nickel corner.
That's your cornerbacks for the New Orleans Saints right now.
Okay, so you need a corner.
What I'm saying is, Marshawn Lattimore, the argument that a lot of people have given us as to why you don't go quarterback is, look at what Marshawn Lattimore did. Now, yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show, Peyton did say, for the people that didn't want to believe me, they were looking at Mahomes, they were going to take him. If he was there.
Yes.
He was there, they were going to do it. And then, you know, Patrick kept pressing Peyton about, okay, both are in the bubble.
Right.
As Sean Payton called it, the draft bubble. And he said Lattimore had the higher grade, they would have taken Lattimore.
Yes.
But they wanted Mahomes.
Indeed.
So the argument that's always presented against us is, imagine if the Saints didn't have Marshawn Lattimore. And he absolutely changed that defense.
Oh,
there's no question about it, right? He's the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Changed completely what you can do defensively.
He locked down one side
of the field. One side of the field's good.
I mean, yeah.
You also have pretty good safeties in Bell and Marcus Williams.
Indeed.
Who directed a lot of that. If you could find another corner to be on the other side. Now, Hayden Hurst was what I was going with, right? Makes perfect sense. Put him in right now.
Yeah.
Hayden Hurst, 6'4", pass catcher, blocker, put him in right now. Learn under Ben Watson. Perfect. I'm happy with that pick.
Yeah. He reminds me of Greg Olsen. I mean, guys,
he has a 31-inch vertical. That's not bad.
No, not at all.
Alexander has a 35-inch vertical at 5'10". Now, look, 5'10", I'm like, he's small against the bigger receivers and stuff. Yeah, but he can jump. He's a playmaker. He's a ball hawk. He gets interceptions. And, oh, by the way, he's a punt kick returner. 4'3 speed.
4'3'8 to be exact.
Has a little swagger to him. You have a little something that you wanted to read that he said about his abilities as to what kind of corner you're going to get, right?
Yeah, no question.
Now, I want you to remember and just Saints fans listening, when a play was made on a defensive end, what did the defense do?
Oh, they pose. Strike a pose, baby.
Trying
to show you what
little
we had.
Little swagger.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read.
This is Jair Alexander. Speaking of himself.
Yes.
He was being interviewed by Peter King, the guys over there at SI. And he said, I assure you, you're getting a versatile player, a guy who can lock down everything. Very rare do you see a pass getting caught on me. A pass getting caught on me, it's almost history in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn on a film. I finished the season strong. Pretty sure as long as they see that, they'll get a clear understanding of what type of player I am.
I'm just looking at it like this. Noodle arm. Cam Newton. Roethlisberger. Wentz. Goff. Cousins.
Yeah. We're talking about playoff QBs right here. Super Bowl
Manning's
QBs.
Not terrible. You know, they're a bench legend. But my point is, man, it all of a sudden started to me. It just makes sense. It makes – now, again, that's if he's there. I've seen mock drafts where he's gone at 13.
Yeah.
Okay, to the Cardinals. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, they lost Tyrann Mathieu. Same size type
exactly
of guy.
Exactly right. Again, I'm just looking at it from this perspective. If I'm Dennis Allen and I got two little dudes here that just – they're like, throw me the ball. I mean, that's what I was so impressed by
– yeah.
You know, Lattimore, he did not shy away.
He dared you to throw
right?
the ball.
And then when he had that little battle with Julio Jones, he goes, let's wait for the second time we meet.
Yeah.
And he picked off Matt Ryan. And he picked him off the first time in Atlanta. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you found a guy that intercepts the ball and is your lockdown corner. Okay? You know what I'm starting, all of a sudden starting to think? Seattle.
Oh, locked
I got
down.
I got smart safeties that don't give up anything back, right? And Bell and Williams, and I got two corners that take away my outside. I've added DeMario Davis and AJ Klein to my linebacking core the last 2 years. That should help a little bit. Okay? If I could do anything else with the other draft picks or develop some of the guys I already have on my roster, I'm just thinking for the next 4 to 5 years, I got my two corners and two safeties. Dude, it just makes sense to me.
Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Ball hawk corner that could drop to the Saints because of injuries. 4-3 speed. Seven interceptions in his college career. 15 pass breakups.
That's Jerry Alexander. You're yes. reading his stats.
I am. Yeah. Do you know who that sounds like? Marshawn Lattimore.
That's exactly what you just read, isn't it?
Yes.
It's Marshawn Lattimore.
Same type of guy.
Yes.
So I'm like, it's crazy.
I'm just saying, I talked myself into it yesterday and went, Freddie, I got to do it. Because I'm looking at the division. I'm looking at the conference. I'm looking what I need to do. I can find the tight end later.
Of course.
I can get a receiver later. I mean, you know, Nick Underhill put it there today when he was giving the numbers for Brandon Coleman. He said he'll compete for the fourth receiver spot with Austin Carr, who Sean Payton was high on. Tommy Lee Lewis, who's made the team before.
Yes.
And Trayvon Doral.
Yeah.
Okay. Offensive line. I can get that other than number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Tight end, I probably can get that in three. And I think the Saints, if you don't have to move up, and again, this is if Alexander's there.
Right.
You can use some of those eight picks and get into the second round.
Yes.
And get your tight end.
Yes.
My point is, if you got a guy like that that can do special teams for you, can intercept the ball for you, brings that swag. To me, dude, that just makes so much sense.
Love the pick.
You know, again, that's if he's there. Most drafts have him before. The only one where he's passed, he goes to the New England Patriots. Quick break. We come back. Ken and Mandeville will go to you. Got to hit that bottom of the hour break. I'm a little past. See, that's what I'm getting at. I'm getting so excited. I can keep talking about this. If you want to chime in, 800-998-1003. Jason Anderson's going to talk Lamar Jackson and Jair Alexander at 105. He works over at ESPN Louisville, his afternoon show. So we'll touch on that. The Graph, Jake Madison in hour three. Shots fired also in hour two. Jam-packed show. Ken, coming back to you when we come back. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Personal injury, maritime, offshore, best, tort, and workers' comp. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Music's Soul Child on Twitter says at GCAT underscore 17, Josh Jackson from Iowa. 6'1", 192, 8 interceptions, 19 pass defenses as a junior. He's ranked number one in a lot of the rankings.
Yes.
For cornerback.
Indeed.
He's 6'1", 192. Jair Alexander is 5'11", 192. He's ranked two. Most mock drafts, the reason why I went there was because Joshua Jackson's gone.
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying Alexander. Remember, the Saints are 27.
Yeah.
That's why.
Unless they make a move
that's
up.
Why.
And I think
but
if, yeah.
To Music Soul Child's credit, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm in. I'd be in on that. That's fine. Isaiah Oliver, another one that could be around there at 27. Denzel Ward's another cornerback from Ohio State. They have him going. Look, I just now went through a bunch of mock drafts. Panthers.
Yes.
Alexander.
Yes.
They have him mocking going there. Patriots, they have mocking going there. Cardinals. So teams in need of corners, like top corners, are considering him. That's what I'm saying. If he's there, again, I'm just going by Freddie and Fitzsimmons' mock board yesterday.
Yes.
He was there. And what I'm saying is he was there. Goddard was there. Hurst was there.
Yeah.
Van Der Esch went three picks before I might have gone him. But that's my point. I don't think there's a bad choice, really, for the Saints. But I do think you can make a lot of different options. And I don't know if that's a good thing because your head just, you have to trust what your scouts tell you. Ken and Mandeville, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Good afternoon, guys.
Mm-hmm.
My rule of thumb when it comes to the draft is never forget the eye test. when you guys started talking about Alexander, I didn't know exactly who that was. You know, you get a lot of names thrown out, a lot of players you've never seen. But once I Googled it, I said, oh, yeah, I remember him. Because, of course, everybody watched Lamar Jackson. He was must-see TV. So when as I'm watching Lamar Jackson, I'm like, who is this kid? Intercepted everything. And after he intercepted, he does something with it.
He's gone.
I'm like,
yeah.
This kid is good. He's locking people down. You know, so I think the eye test comes in more than all these combine measurables and all this. You got to remember how you watch the kid ball, and that kid ball. Now, don't get me wrong. The kid from Iowa, Jackson, I watched him a few times. He balled, too. Both of those guys, that's probably why they're number one and two.
Right.
You know, but I think if either one of them, that you got to go with Lattimore, I think that's lockdown defense.
Right. I mean, you understand what I'm saying, Ken? Because, guys, what was the one thing, too? And, look, I thought Ken Crowley did great because a lot of people love to rip the guy when, you know, he gave up a pass or whatever. I'm like, dude, no one's throwing to Lattimore.
Right.
So
he's going to get more opportunities.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Whoever you get, you want a guy that understands he's going to be targeted because quarterbacks are just not going to go after Lattimore if they don't have to. So they went after Crowley. And I thought for the opportunities and chances that kept going towards him, Brian, I thought he performed pretty well. I mean, he wasn't terrible.
No, not at all. And I think too many people gave him flack for those penalties, man. I mean, look, they taught that in the offseason. They made you get handsy.
No, they wanted to. And here's the other thing, too. And again, I'm not being disrespectful, right? Take P-Rob out. Take Lattimore out.
Yeah.
Everyone else is undrafted.
Yeah.
Or lower draft picks like P.J. Williams. P.J. was third. But I just, that's my point. I just, there was a reason Lattimore's won.
Yes. Yes. Okay? Day one.
And again, I get it. I know you. Didn't you Brandon Coleman story? Me with my Willie Snead story. Colston. Moore. I get it. They've had success in finding receivers that weren't drafted or drafted very low. I get it. There's a massive difference between Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks, and some of the other guys.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. I will admit this.
Okay. There's reasons you're a first-round pick. No, that's not saying that they're all hit.
Yeah.
I get that. That said, if I can get a guy that can help me lock, again, you're now adding to your team in so many other ways other than what he can do individually.
Yes.
You're helping the defensive coordinator. Yes. You're helping your pass rushers.
Yes.
And what you've done as a quarterback is now decide, this is the one thing the Saints defense had been able to do for a long, long time, started doing last year.
Yeah.
On Monday, the opposing team quarterback goes, who we face? Oh, man, Saints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No one last time you felt like that.
Okay. And on Wednesday at practice, the offensive coordinator head coach goes, guys, we've got to be careful with the ball this week.
Yes.
When's the last time you've heard quarterbacks on Wednesday when they talk and do their pressers going, let me tell you something, that ball better be on target.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably was 2011. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe even before that.
They think about it all week. Drew does.
Yeah.
When he knows he's going up against the defense, he's like, man, we got to be smart with the ball. He says it.
Yeah.
We've seen the Saints kind of tailor their game plan away from some corners like in Minnesota.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because of it. I'm just saying, if you have that in the conference that the NFC is becoming and in the division that you have, you are taking a step forward. There's no doubt. Now, again, he has to pan out. I get it.
Yeah.
And there was concern. And look, you and I, we were at OTAs last year. We were at training camp.
Yeah. Lattimore. Yeah. Look at the back. They got some tape on that back
then.
He
got tape on his hamstrings. Yeah. The first OTA.
Oh, man. He got beat. Look, Michael Thomas beating him badly.
Defensive rookie of the year. Yeah. Again, I'm not saying that they're going to pick another defensive rookie of the year.
Maybe.
I just need him to be the second best corner on the team.
And that's pretty good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't need him to be anything else in the NFL but the second best corner on the team.
Yeah.
If he could be the second best corner in the team behind Marshawn Lattimore, I'm doing okay. And I'm not bidding adieu, you know, in a farewell to Ken Crowley.
No.
No, I need depth.
Depth.
They're going to get nicked up.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have depth. And there's a lot of packages where you have three safeties.
Yes.
Maybe you don't now. You don't have Vaccaro. I mean, though Coleman came in, but I don't know if that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe you have more defensive backs, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't mind seeing a scenario where you have Crowley, you have P. Rob, you have Alexander, and you have Lattimore on the floor. Yeah, here's, I'm on the field.
Here's a great thing, a way to look at it for guys out there that are listening. There's only two ways you affect the quarterback. You better have a really good pass rush.
Or you better have corners that
is. Or you better have corners that can make them hold the ball.
And you know who else it affects? The receivers.
Yeah. Indeed. That jam on the line of scrimmage, right? I mean, if you look at who the Saints have to play as far as receivers in Tampa, you got DeSean Jackson, mm-hmm. you got Mike Evans. That's not easy. You're looking at Atlanta. We already know what they can do with Julio Jones and Muhammad Sanu.
Right there. Yeah. You said it the last part. Yeah. I would make the case and argument New Orleans has been hurt by someone other than Julio Jones in the game. I've said
every
this every time we
every
play.
Time.
Do I not tell you this? The week we play the Falcons, you let Julio do whatever he wants. Fine. I'm not doubling Julio.
No.
The other guys are killing you.
Sanu
stop
and Gabriel
the run
last
game
year.
Yeah. And stop Sanu. Julio can go have his 2-3 games, his 2-3, you know, catches or whatever for touchdown. He's not going to beat you.
No.
I know I might be the only one in the NFL that says that, but I'm telling you, I can live one-on-one with Julio Jones.
Julio had a monster game that second game, and it got nowhere because Lattimore just, okay, you want to catch it? Okay, fine. I'll just beat you up with the minute you catch the ball.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah. I just like, go ahead. And look, he did. He caught on and did. Fine. Yeah. Saints won that game. I just, if you can have a guy that's like close to Lattimore.
Yes.
On Sanu, close to Lattimore, on one of the other Yuccaneers.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing too. Read the positives on him. Can play inside, can play outside.
Mm-hmm.
He's versatile. So when a guy goes in motion and tries to go inside, one of the things that I read as we go to break here that I thought was interesting. Let's see if I can pull it up. Here it is. One of the positives in strengths, spots traffic from zone and squeezes passing lanes. Quick response time when the quarterback begins the release. Aware and instinctive. Eyes stay on the quarterback when he's able. Athletic and tough. Crowds and mirror receivers release without panicking. Stays connected to routes. Pattern reader. Capable of sudden stops to mirror comeback routes. Aggressive attacking the catch point. Climbs on top of receivers and rips arms through potential catches. Has decent recovery burst on the ball speed on deep balls. Communicates well with teammates.
Here's one that you'll love that wasn't on the list.
That's NFL.com right there.
An emotional leader of Louisville's defense.
I mean, again, I just, to me, I'm telling you, I might have talked myself into it yesterday. The more I think about it, it's a no-brainer. That guy is at 27. That's who I go get.
Look at you.
I just think he fits perfectly on this defense.
Look at you.
I will be patting myself on the back during the break. This hour brought to you by the King Firm, personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Hey, stop by tomorrow. Have a little lunch with us at Vinny's Caddy Shack, 3217 Ridgelake Drive right there in Metairie, right next to Causeway. You know the place. It used to be Caddy Shacks. Now it's Vinny's Caddy Shack. Completely renovated, redone, new ownership, new management, the works. Come see why they're saying, hey, bring a date. Come see our daily food specials, the works.
Am I your
have a
date?
Fun. They have a little live music, bands, karaoke, everything. So,
am I your date?
You can be if you'd like.
Okay.
It will be Thursday and Friday. We'll be at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans during the day, Thursday night. Round one coverage here on ESPN New Orleans. 4K, favorite, Nola East. See what I just did there? That's your last name, Nola East.
Nola East.
Myself as well, Dave and Buster, 6 p.m., special stadium seating. Please come out there and come watch the draft with us. I had a blast last year where we did it here in Metairie, but I'm super looking forward to going up there. All the games that they got, the Dave and Busters,
mm-hmm.
it's right there by the dome, too, kind of gives you the sense and feel. If you're downtown, stay for an hour, you know, just stay for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully you can stay through the draft. I mean, look, the Saints are going to pick if they stay at 27 between 9 and 10.
You guys can come boo Roger Goodell once he pops up on the screen, have a little fun.
You can boo him if you'd like. I mean, you never know. I think it could be, fun.
The New Orleans Saints select.
Exactly, right? I mean, it'll be fun to kind of see that.
Now that would have been great.
Before we wrap up hour number one, coming up in hour two, Jason Anderson from ESPN Louisville to talk about Alexander and also Lamar Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Who better to talk about them than the ESPN affiliate in Louisville.
That's a good move.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't call me the sports legend for nothing.
Who calls you that?
No one.
Okay.
At 1:45, touch them all to meet Grubbs. Every Tuesday, we talk cakes and top Major League Baseball storylines. 1:15, Brian will lose in shots fired. 2:05, The Graph, Tulane Baseball at Southern. We try to get Brian Johnson unavailable as Nichols is at Southern today. And at 2:15, Jake Madison will talk a little bit more about the Zach Lowe piece today. But we wrap up hour one with this.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have a case here for young Quintoris, a.k.a. Julio Jones.
His name is Quintoris?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
See? That's why I'm the NFC South guru.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, young Quintoris has deleted all of his information about the Atlanta Falcons on his Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter accounts. Somebody said he even doesn't want to talk to him on Tinder. Hey, that's none of my business.
Would you swipe left or right on Arthur Blank?
On Arthur Blank?
Yeah.
Is he doing the dance or not? If he's doing the dance, I might swipe.
I was going to say. I mean, yeah. He also is the guy that cuts the check. So, I mean, you know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you might want to swipe. Is it right or left? I don't know.
I think you swipe right.
Is it right?
I think
you
so.
Think?
I think so.
See what I tried to set you up there.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. Okay, I mean, you know, I don't visit those type of establishments.
Of course you don't. How do you download that? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
App Store or something? Go ahead.
With that being said, big deal, little deal, no deal at all. That old Julio said, you know what? I'm not showing up for any workouts.
It's voluntary.
Yeah, I don't care about being around the team. I got to go to Alabama, talk to the kids.
So many pictures of me with the Falcons, Brian. Yes. He's just cleaning up his social media page is what it is. He could have hired a social media company, and the first thing he'd do is let's just start from scratch. Erase that season. Maybe it's his way to get rid of the, you know, get rid of the 28-3 debacle. Just, you know, start anew, Brian.
I don't think
it means at all that you want to break up with the Falcons.
Are you sure?
Let me tell you something. If that's what he's doing, peace out.
Are you sure?
That is such an immature thing to do.
I'm mad. I'm just going to block you on social media.
Erase the pictures.
Yeah.
Really? What are you, 15?
Or maybe he just wants a new contract and he's, you know, crying like a little baby and having a silent temper tantrum.
Coming up next, Jason Anderson, ESPN Louisville, will help us break down a pair of Louisville Cardinals. And maybe could be Saints. Who knows? Hour 2 up next on ESPN New Orleans.
With her hair down the middle, it's better come on!